Okay, I think we'll get started here shortly, folks. So thank you everyone for coming to today's presentation on PaaS and Container Innovation: What is New with Azure App Service? I will be your host this afternoon, Stefan, and we've got a number of folks here from the product team, and you'll be seeing them shortly. So we've got Ahmed, Andrew, and Jenny, who will all be going over various new functionality in our service. Also, what's pretty cool is everyone who's here today has actually been with the service almost since, as I jokingly say, day negative one. So we've had both the excitement and the honor to work with all of you and the product to actually grow it from its roots many, many years ago. So the theme today is we're gonna show you a number of new ways of assembling and putting together apps when you run them on Azure App Service, along with a number of new deployment options that we have cooking. You're gonna see a lot of examples that apply to the Linux side of Azure App Service, and that's actually sort of the first part that we're gonna go through. And then you'll see some investments we've been making in our command line tools, and then we'll round out the demos this afternoon, focusing a little bit more on the Windows side of App Service. And so again, I suspect a lot of you already know, but one of the major things that we've grown up in over time is we are no longer just a Windows-only PaaS service. So we have great support for both Windows and Linux developers and all the different frameworks and platforms that run on those. So just sort of a quick overview where we're at today. Like I said, we started out small quite a few years ago. You can see the numbers here. Now we're a pretty big global hyperscale service, so hundreds of thousands of customers, getting pretty close to the 2 million mark in terms of number of apps, and running literally billions of requests a day on our service. And that includes everything from the smallest developers running on our free tier, just sort of kicking the tires. Maybe they're starting out learning how to write Node or C# on our platform. And we support all the way up to the higher end of the spectrum, where we have multiple customers from retail, from finance, from insurance, you name it, that are all running millions and millions of mission-critical, high-value transactions every day, pumping it through our platform around the world. And so to sort of give you a flavor for that, I'm very pleased to introduce here one of the dev leads from Starbucks, Vivek, and he's gonna come up and talk about sort of the Starbucks journey to the cloud with Azure App Service.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Vivek Raman. I'm excited to be here to share our journey with Microsoft Azure. I lead the workforce management team at Starbucks. We are very heavy on open source, primarily on Java. The workforce management is a crucial component in Starbucks. It handles the scheduling, labor, and time and attendance systems for Starbucks. So as you can imagine, it's a very critical system, running transactions of 10,000 stores and over 200,000 partners. So we cannot afford to be down. As we started our journey, we designed this application to be an on-prem application with Java 8 and Spring Boot. We had a new enterprise focus in the middle of the project that said, hey, cloud first, native first. So we had to pivot from an on-prem architecture and deploy onto the cloud. It was an incredible journey, and it was made possible with zero impact to the timeline. How so? Because of this wonderful team over here, Asir and team, shout out to them, the App Service team. We were able to leverage the artifacts that we had developed for an on-prem architecture and deploy it onto the cloud. The components supported Spring Boot integration natively, like the web apps, the API jobs. They had very less modification to the piece of code that we needed to make it run on the cloud natively. My engineers could now focus on delivering business value because the platform as such is maintained by Azure, and all the patching and the security aspects of it are taken care. My developers and my technical teams are really happy in focusing on delivering business value to the clients. As we embarked on this journey, one of the key differentiators was automation. We have a zero-touch provisioning system using our on-prem CDCI, and we leverage the ARM templates to provision an entire region on cloud in under 3.5 minutes. If you imagine us doing that on-prem, it would take close to 3 months. So that's the win that we got when we moved to Azure. As we had the maturity model set up in Azure, we quickly realized that the auto-scaling capability and the productivity of our developers increased because of all of these put together. Glad to be here to share our journey. If you need more information, visit us at the Starbucks booth at the Expo Hall. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vivek. That was a great story of how you can use Java on Azure App Service. And also, you know, more importantly, it cuts to the fact that at the end of the day, App Service is a platform, and a lot of the value we deliver is around the frameworks and languages that we run. So when you talk about things like auto-scaling, you talk about things like automatic OS patching, you know, deployment slots, functionality like that, those are cross-cutting capabilities and values that we deliver on the platform, and they are agnostic and independent of the actual languages that you choose to work in and day out. So for the first set of demos, and to set expectations, we're going to be intentionally very demo heavy here because I know most of you developers, DevOps, working with Azure and working with platforms day in and day out. I'm going to bring up Jenny Lawrence, who's one of the devs on our platform and has actually written quite a few of the pieces of functionality you're going to see here today.
Thank you so much, folks. I'm a bit nervous because my first thing, but we'll figure it out. So last September, we GA'd our app service for Linux. Can we have a quick show of hands for how many people have tried out app service on Linux or run? Oh, wow. Okay, so that's great. I don't have to explain too much into it. But for the rest of you folks, we have two offerings. One is we let you run your existing web apps, which is running on Linux, which is either PHP, Node, Java is in preview now, Ruby, et cetera. You can just take your existing web app and deploy it on app service, which is running behind the scenes on Linux. The second option we have is if you already have a Dockerized web app, you can actually just push the Docker image to your repository of choice and just configure web app for Linux to say, web app for containers to say, here is my image name and go run. So these are the two things we had on day one. What we didn't have is the support to run Linux workloads on app service environments. Today, I'm excited to say that we now have Linux support for app service environments, or ACE, as you would call it, or as I'm going to refer it later. So what do we have in ACE? Oh, OK, how many people have used app service environments? Yeah, that's a good. So app service environment literally is, think about it as a multi-tenant infrastructure which we built to run app service. We just said, you know what? We will let customers provision the whole thing to run their workloads. So what it means is it's fully isolated and dedicated to your, to the customer's environment. The second thing is we let you provision it into a VNet, so you have much more tighter controls into how who can access that resource. So let me now demo just creating a Linux web app into an app service environment. So you start off with create a resource, and you can go whichever way you want, web to get started. And you can either choose web app for containers or web app. I'm going to say web app for containers. You can enter, you given the name of your website, Jlaw demo is app one. Okay, subscription one is my sub. You can pick your resource group or create a new one. And I'm going to pick the resource group which I already used to pre-create my app service environment. The next step is, okay, let me pick an app service plan to run this web app. And here you can see my existing app service plans which were already created, or you can always go ahead and create a new one. When you create a new one, we give you a view to say, do you want to pick any one of the pre-created app service environment which I have, or you can pick a new one in a region. So let me just quickly walk through how you would do a new app service plan in this workflow. And I can say the pricing tier. This is the brand new UI we built recently. So here, if you want your web app to be provisioned in an app service environment, you would go ahead to the isolated SKU. And that's where you make your choice of what your app service environment should look like. And in here, you have a choice of I1, I2, I3, and not L1, L2, L3. I always get confused whether it's I or L, but it is I, for those who care. And you can pick one and say apply, or I'm just going to cancel out of it because I'm going to use a pre-existing ace for this devil. So in ACE, we have two kind of ACEs. One is a completely internal app service environment, and the second one is publicly internet accessible. So for this demo, I'm just going to use my internal ACE because the demo is a little more challenging. And then I'm going to say I want to pick a Docker image. And for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to use the official Nginx image from Docker Hub. I'm going to say OK. And just say create, give it a go. It's going to take some time to submit the stuff to the ARM templates and whatnot. So one of the things which I want to mention is because I create an app service in an ILB ACE, or the internal load balancing ACE, as I would like to call it, when I go to this resource and click on that URL, I actually get a cannot connect error because this app service environment was configured to be completely isolated from the public internet. So that's why I can't access. So now, how do I actually visit this web page and make sure everything is working? I have deployed another virtual machine, which is deployed to the same VNet as where my initial app service environment was provisioned. And here, I also want to set up my low-key DNS server to say this host name, which I just created, needs to point to a particular IP. Oh, yeah, thanks. So most of you know this trick already. I'm just going to say. So I'm just putting the IP address of my internal load balanced ACE into there, and good to go. I thought I had the host name there pasted, so I'm just going to copy it one more time. There you go. So we have an Nginx container running in an ILB ACE running an app service environment. That's the first part of my demo. The second thing which I wanted to showcase was that we have made some pricing tweaks and my SKU tweaks, I would call it, just to make Linux more accessible for most of our customers. So one of the things which you would now see when you create a new web app or web app for containers is that the SKU page looks slightly different from what it was before. So let me just click on here. When I say create a new app service plan, and you look at the pricing tier, we now have, for dev test workloads, we recommend basic SKU, and we now have a free plan of free for 1 month basic SKU for people who want to try out Linux. For production, we want folks to, okay, I think I messed something up when I created. We have S1 and then premium V2 machines, which has D-series compute. So let me give a good enough name. So create out of here, create new. Let me see whether this page loads better this time. Oh, I know why. Yeah, thanks, Stefan. I had an app service environment selected, so that's why it didn't let me. I don't know why. Okay, there's something wrong. I'm not just going to spend time on it. Okay, moving on. The next things we wanted to talk about is some of the additional features we have added for Web App for Linux. For those who have used Web App for Windows, you know that Azure Authentication is a feature which was there for some time, and it's like a very popular feature. People use it, people like it because of the ease of use. So we now have apps Azure Authentication for Web App for Linux and Web App for Containers. So let me give a quick demo for that. So I have an app already created, And you can now see that the authentication and authorization page lights up for this web app. And I have configured App Service Auth to be on. And I've said the action is login with Twitter. And I've set up the Twitter credentials with the key and secret. So let me make a request now to that web page to see how the experience looks like. Sure, I got the Twitter login page. There you go. So I have a basic Twitter app, which just prints out the top three tweets. So if you visit this app, you would actually see your most recent three tweets in there. So yeah, that's how easy it is to just enable authentication to your web app on Linux. And this step kind of worked for web app for Windows too. So, but anyways. The next thing which I wanted to show is remote debugging on a Node app hosted on web app for Linux. Web app on Linux, whatever. So here I have Visual Studio Code. And the extensions I've added upfront are the Azure App Service extension, as well as the Azure Account extension, these two. So if you have these two enabled, or installed, however you want to call it, to do remote debugging is like as easy as right-click and saying attach debugger. Now, one thing I wanted to mention is this functionality exists for Node blessed image apps right now, and we will be adding in the future for the rest of the frameworks. So I go ahead and say attach debugger, and it is actually attached right now. So coming back to the debug pane right here, going to the loaded scripts, navigate to the script which I'm currently here. Let me just go ahead and make a request to the web page really quick. Sorry, it was build demo debug, sorry. Thank you. Okay, something's happening. Actually, I'm so sorry. I actually had a breakpoint in there, so it actually broke into the debugger. So what I wanted to do now is just do step, like go one step, change the string over here, and say, you know what? Let me just say 2018, whatnot. And hit F5. There you go. So we were able to modify that script during runtime, just like that. The next thing which I wanted to talk about is, one more thing I wanted to add before even going there is, what we have on every app service app is like a sister app or a companion app called the SCM web app. People refer to it as the Kudu app, the SCM site, whatnot. So usually you access the SCM site with your site name, .scm.azurewebsites.net. And this site allows us to do like a lot of interesting things. One of the things we can do is we can establish a WebSocket connection from your client all the way to the SCM site. We have configured the site. This site runs on the same machine as where your main site is running. So technically, you can make the site talk to your main site and get information out of there. So for Windows, you can do things like Process Explorer, create dump file, whatnot. For Linux, we have some interesting scenarios. And the remote debugging is one scenario we build through that infrastructure. The second thing you could do is you can actually connect your SSH client to talk to your container. So let me show you that. So using AC CLI, I can just say, run one command, say, create a remote connection to this web app. And in this case, the web app name is JLaw Tunnel Demo. And sure enough, it says it's ready. You can now connect. So I'm going to use PuTTY here. And the arguments to Putty I gave was, it's the local machine. So what this does behind the scenes is, the AC CLI opened a WebSocket listener, or a SSH listener, so you call it, and Putty, you can configure Putty to talk to that listener. So it says, yeah, I'm now connected. So home. So I can see that this height has 3 info. So let me just make a request to say welcome.txt. This website is running. Yes, there is something. So how about, let's say, echo test to test.txt. That's it. And then say test.txt. There you go. So basically, we were just able to SSH to the container, put some stuff in there into the file system, and your main web app actually just started serving that request. So yeah, we feel like we can document these things better and have you guys come up with interesting scenarios too, or have feedback for us to implement. But this is like a good promising start for us to be able to do this. And finally, to the last part of my demo. So we are excited to, like, when we first did the Linux for web apps, we just started off with, hey, let's just run some web server, let's say Apache, have it configured to run PHP or Node or whatnot. And then as we were coding into the project, Docker became more and more popular, available, stable, reliable, whatnot. And it really became an interesting way to run our workload. So behind the scenes, we decided, you know what, instead of launching a web server on our own, we should just launch Docker images and Docker containers. So what we did as part of that is all the web server frameworks which we wanted to support, we started building the Docker images which will just run. So we have all our blessed images in GitHub/Azure App Service. That's where all the Docker images for blessed images are there. But it also lets you, because we are using Docker behind the scenes to run this workload, you can specify your Docker image yourself. So the next step for us to, hey, you can run a Docker container, can you run multiple Docker containers which can talk to each other? So we think, yes, we can. We still have ways to go, but we are really excited to show what you can do today. So you can go ahead and say, I want containers. And you say web app for containers. And you say jlog demo. Say I want this. I create my sub, and I'm going to continue to reuse my existing app service plan. And here, we now have two new tabs. You can see, like, you have a Docker Compose preview, and you can have a Kubernetes preview. What it means is we now let you specify a compose.yaml file or a pod config YAML file, and say which describes your multi-container app. Let me show you an example of what I'm going to demo today. So this is a sample multi-container app. This example is used in the Kubernetes demos as well, but it's pretty much a Redis cache backend. It's fronted by a web server. It's a voting app. So in here, you can see that there are two services here, Azure Vote Back, Azure Vote Friend. The image name to be, the Docker image name used to be used for that service is Redis. And for the second container, we are saying, hey, use this particular Microsoft/Azure Vote Friend Docker image to run this app. And there is an environment variable set and the ports which it should be listening to or exposed. So through the portal, you can now come over here and say, I want to just use a file and say var.yaml. So in here, now the system automatically loads the payload over here, and you can say OK, and go ahead and say create. So while it's deploying, I would also want to briefly talk about, like, for those who have used Kubernetes, port config is how you would define a similar to like a compose.yaml. OK, so sides up. Let me just make a request. This is the cold start. It shouldn't be too long, but we'll see. The other thing which I wanted to show you was, if you come to this the container settings page, we now have a way to actually see the logs from the actual VM in the Azure portal itself. So let me try to see whether I can scroll it. Yeah, there you go. So right here, the logs are, we can see that the container is, both the Docker containers are started. They are started in the same Docker network, so they can talk to each other. And let's go ahead and see. There you go. So multi-container demo app is launched. You can go ahead and vote. This just works. So one of the other features which I wanted to highlight was another app which a partner team built. They call themselves the Global Black Belt team. This is a really cool app. Let me just launch that for you too. This is backed by like 4 different Docker images. They're all talking to each other. You start rating. I'm going to give C# my vote. I'm going to submit. And yeah, you can all rate this app too. The cool thing about this app is the way it's set up. Firstly, this one is backed by a MongoDB database for the data. So you can see in the configuration, we have your main web container. Then you have a sites container, subjects, ratings. And all of the 3 subjects, ratings, and site, they all have an environment variable with set, and it's set in this format. So it says MongoDB URI is $ custom connection string underscore MongoDB underscore URI. Now, where is it getting that value from? That is being fetched from the application settings connection strings configuration. So here, we provide you a way to securely, any secure properties you have for your web app, you can set it through the main app service portal, but then use it in your Compose or Cube file with the $ bang notation. And that, I think, is like pretty sweet. We will have more features to talk about and blog, but this is all I have for now. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jenny. So all of this that you saw right here, it's available today. It's in preview. So Linux on Ace is available for you in preview. One quick note there, we recommend not going out and deploying Linux apps onto any production Aces you have, just given the fact the Linux Ace support is in preview. But you can kick the tires and get going with that today. And then the multi-container support, the easy auth support, and the new SSH support, again, all available today, just lit up in the portal literally, in many cases, just 1 or 2 days ago. Interesting thing about the SSH support that Jenny was showing, some of you may have noticed that last year we did mention that we had SSH support, but you had to get to it through the portal, through the console that we had in the Azure portal. With what Jenny just showed you, you can bring your own SSH client, and you can go ahead and now use the clients of your choice to go SSH into the containers, into the node containers that are running up on app service, which is really pretty cool and really useful. One other thing I'm gonna do is just show you real quick, because I know there was a little bit of a glitch in the portal in terms of sort of the new scale up and scale out experience. And this is something that we just rolled out. It's available for both Windows as well as all of our Linux customers. And like we said, it's a little bit of a different experience, so you can see what we recommend for your dev test workloads, for your production workloads. Oop, and let's make sure we're actually displaying. Thank you for the hint. That would help for everyone. Okay, so here I am. I'm in the scaling experience inside of the portal, and you'll notice that when you click into it, you'll see we give you our recommendations for your dev test workloads, production, as well as the ability to run in app service environments. And then the other thing, again, some of you may have noticed it from clicking around, but we've heard a lot of the feedback in terms of you like our premium offerings, but you'd like it to be more approachable. Well, if you notice here, we now by default show you the new scaling sort of slope that we recommend for folks. So you go from S1 to P1 to P2 to P3. And if you take a close look there, you'll notice, for example, P1 V2, that is actually the exact same price that the standard 2-tier is listed for. And similarly, for the next step up, this is the same price you would get with the standard 3-tier. So what this means for all of you is if you're in one of our newer scale units, and most of them built out in the last year have this, you will be able to go out, and when you're ready to go into production, instead of normally going on to an S2 or an S3, you can instead move on to the premium V2 tier. It costs exactly the same as those standard tiers. You'll get the more powerful D-series performance, so ACU for ACU, you'll actually get more out of the PV2 pricing tier, and you'll also be able to scale out to 20 instances. So what that means is all of you who used to be running on S2s or S3s, if you can move up to PV2, you'll be able to get that extra horsepower and be able to scale your app service plans out to 20 instances without any step up in terms of the price. So yeah, hopefully that'll be useful for a lot of you. And like I said, we do listen to you when you give us the feedback, even if it's sometimes uncomfortable, and I know it may take a little time to get to stuff, but we do listen, and we do make those kinds of changes to our service. To wrap up one thing on Linux, one thing that I wanted to point out is actually the multi-container capability that Jenny just showed you is something that we have had in App Service on the Linux side since day one. Underneath the hood, we front-end our apps with Nginx, and we've actually been making use of that now for the better part of a year. And then similarly, the EasyAuth support that Jenny just showed you, where, for example, you can log in now with your Linux apps using your corporate Azure Active Directory or using a public OAuth provider like Twitter MSA accounts, things like that. That's actually implemented, again, using a container that's sitting in front of your app. We just set that up for you automatically, and as I sometimes like to joke, automagically. And basically what we said is, look, we have these multi-container scenarios. We're using them internally ourselves to enable this functionality. Why don't we just open it up and make it available for all of you to use as well? And so, for example, what I've got up here on the screen, this is a very simple, canonical scenario of where we think the multi-container support for Linux on App Service is really useful. You're going to run your favorite CMS like WordPress. Maybe you need to do some URL rewriting magic in front of it, so you run an Nginx container in front of it, which is one of the things Jenny showed you. And then similarly for performance, maybe you just want to get up and running quickly on a Redis cache and you're not ready to move and go run it on sort of the managed server, so you just throw in a Redis container. But then given the fact that you do want to be able to scale this out and you don't sort of want to be locked into a corner, you can still go out and set up the connection strings for your WordPress app to point at our MySQL database service. And now what you've just done is you've built a very simple, very useful multi-container scenario. You can safely scale it out, so you don't have any worries on that. And then down the road, for example, if you decide, you know something, I don't want to run Redis, chewing up the same memory as the rest of my containers, just with a change of a connection string, you can choose to move your Redis cache dependency out, for example, to the managed Redis service. So that's Linux App Service. Next, I'm happy to bring up Ahmed, who does a lot of work on our CLI.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah, actually, I'll just stay with the... Yeah. Okay. Yep. So thanks, Stefan. I'd like to talk to you guys about some of the improvements and the simplified experiences that we are bringing to Azure CLI, specifically for App Service. So... Let's just, okay. Let's go with this first and then the other one. So let's assume that you have a code for your app. So here's usually the steps that you're going to do in CLI. You're going to create a resource group. First, you need to know what's a resource group. You created it, choose a location, and then go and learn about what's an app service plan. So if you're new to app service, you need to learn about app service plan. You go and create it, think about, okay, like if my app is Node, I would like to go and to Linux, or for example, .NET, I would like to go to Windows. So you need to learn about all that. And then you go actually create the app. And then you have the app, and then like what I'm going to do with it. So for example, you can go and hook it to GitHub. You can go and change the app settings on your app and use zip deployment, so you build when you deploy. Next thing, you actually need to zip your app and then upload your zip file. So the problem there is to be able to learn all that is just too cumbersome if you're new or you just have code and you want it to work. So we shipped, okay, let's just go back. Okay, so we shipped what we, here we go. AZ Web App up. So how to get to AZ Web App up? First, you need to get it through the extensions. And if you go and install the extension, AZ extension add web app, you'll also get AZ Web App up. You get the experience for SSH and experience for snapshots, well, which I will actually talk about right after this. Right now, we have multi-language support. So we support Node.js, ASP.NET, .NET Core, Java, and PHP is coming right after build, and also static sites. We'll also move that and get support later for multi-containers, for containers, and web app for containers. The idea about it all is you provide the code, you do one command, and the command should figure it out. So let's actually do a demo. Okay, so I have here a Node app. And if I look into the content, it's just a very simple Node app. And if I look into index.js, it just prints hello world. So if I just go and do AZ Web App up, and I specify a name. So build 2018 Node. And that's it. The idea is we will figure out that it's a Node app. We will choose that it's a Linux. So we'll create a resource group for you. We'll create an app service plan for you. We'll create an app. We'll configure everything. We upload it and tell you when it's done. So this is a Node app. Let's actually go and do a .NET Core app. So again, this is a very simple .NET Core app. Literally, if you go .NET new Razor, this is what you get. And then, again, AZ Web App up, -n, build 2018, .NET. But this time, I'll actually add one more thing, dry run. So what will happen right now is we will tell you what we're going to do. So once this will finish, it will tell you. We'll go to central US. This is the default region. You can always override it by -l or --- location. This is the name of the app. We'll go with Windows, resource group, and we'll go with free. And we'll also tell you which directory we're going to go and zip and deploy. So if I just remove the --- dry run, and actually go back. This one is still going on. Oops. The idea there is it will just work. And hopefully it will finish. The thing is, using extensions or CLI extensions allows us not to give you updates every 2 weeks, but we actually can literally give you updates every day. So go and try it out. And if you have any issues, just open an issue on GitHub. The links will be there. I'll show you the links. And we will go and figure it out. If you need more, for example, more features, new languages, tell us, and we'll deliver. Maybe not right away, next day, but we'll deliver it sometime. So it will actually tell you that it's right now generating deployment script. This is also coming from the SCM site that Jenny was talking about. So we're using the SCM capability to do that. So this is actually done. So I'll just go and browse to it. And, oops, refresh, come on. Here we go. Here we go. So this is my first app. I want to actually do changes. Again, I can go the other route, figure out what's the app that we were using, but I can also do this. So I'll just go and change the index.js, insert. Okay. And then literally rerun the same app, same command. And we'll go, we'll know that it's already existing. We know that the app is already existing, and we'll zip it and ship it again. So let's just see, okay, this one also done. We can go and look at it. Oops, oh, And okay, well, it worked right before this demo, so. Okay, so let's see, like if I refresh this one, actually the command did not finish yet. Okay, it did finish. Okay, here we go. So you change, same command, it will just work. So again, as I said, we were planning to bring this to multi-containers, containers, and so on. Sure.
How do you
distinguish between
the
Yeah, that's actually a good question. So what we're doing is we have like a mapping between languages and OSs. So if it's a .NET or a static, we basically create a Windows app. It's easier, we have the best chance for this app just to work. And that's the whole idea. You have code, and you just want to have it in the cloud, on Azure, and it's just working. If it's the open source like languages, we just default to Linux. So switching gears. So one thing that is also like we have been doing a lot, and we're thinking, well, getting a lot of feedback about is the Azure App Service backup and restore feature. People keep telling us and like yelling at us, we want more than 10 gigs of backups. We have been saying we're trying, but what we said is like, okay, we're not going to fix backup restore, we'll actually just go and create a new feature. So just to confuse you. So here's an app, and this is the standard one. Like it's just, this app is premium, but if you go to backups, right now, if that app is in premium, and it doesn't need to be premium for this feature to work, but it needs to be premium to restore for. What we do is we actually use our internal backend snapshots or backups that we take for everything in our system, and we allow you to restore from. Usually this happens every hour, so you will have hourly granularity, but could take for some scale units up to 6 hours. So you'll see one at least every 6 hours. So this one was created on Thursday, and you can see like there's almost one every hour. Because I like CLI, I'll just go and actually use CLI. Okay, not this one. This guy. No, not this guy. This one. So again, you can get the same command using the extensions. The whole idea about extensions, if it's a new command or experience that we don't really know if it's that right experience or not, let's ship the extensions where we can move quickly. And then from your feedback, we can then basically moving it to the Azure core. This command under config, which also like if you go to config, you will find config backups. It will just list all the snapshots. This will be a very long list. Let's assume that I actually chose one before. And again, you just do a restore. And actually, it would be a good idea to browse to this app beforehand. So this app is just a simple .NET Core, but like I did a mistake here. It's build 2017 when I did a latest push. So just restore to one that I know it's actually before that push. And the command, well, using ARM, will just go and create that and the request and restore your app to the previous version. You can also choose to restore to a slot, which is recommended because you don't want. Oops. Okay. Okay. Let's do it again. Restore it to a slot, and then basically you can swap your slot again. There is also an option to restore settings, and you can restore to any point in the past 30 days. Okay, so if it worked, you'll see that it's actually 2018. I can go here. Let's just actually do it from portal. Okay. My mouse is not operating. We'll just go back to this one. I'll just do okay. So the idea is you will see that after finishing, it will take some time. This will actually change to 2018, which is the right version. Cool. With that said, I think I'm done here. Cool. Thanks, all.
Okay. Thank you, Ahmed. So as we always like to joke, it's always good to see the live code and the live features running, because again, if it doesn't fail at least a few times, you don't know that it's real. But again, all of the snapshot functionality that you just saw, that lit up a few weeks ago, along with getting the CLI and the portal wired up. And again, to reiterate, it's one of those examples where sometimes there are difficult problems that we have to engineer through, but when we hear the kind of consistent feedback, in this case for backup and restore, give us a bigger file content corpus that you can handle, we listen and we get it built. And to reiterate what Ahmed said, again, this is a perfect example where we have functionality within our system that we actually rely on to run the service every day, every week of the year. And this is another example of us opening it up and making it available for all of you. So to close things out, demo-wise, I'm gonna bring up Andrew to talk about what we've got cooking for Windows.
Is 8,
7.
7, all right.
Okay, good afternoon. Hope you're all having a great first day of build. I'm going to talk to you about a feature that is literally fresh out of the oven and is quite interesting considering I was a baker in a past life, so it's very core to some things that I've been appreciative of. We are launching this week a private preview of Windows Container Support to Web App for Containers. We've had the feedback from a lot of customers that it's something they'd like to see on our platform after we launch the Linux flavor. So it's something that we're launching this week, and I'm here to show you some of the things that that enables, both in scenarios, but also just in speed. So the primary goal that we're talking at with customers who look to Windows Container Support is primary customers that have large .NET framework investments over the years, and for whatever reasons, they're looking to do what we call lift and shift. But they don't want to do a lift and shift to IaaS and then still have to maintain the servers and do all the patching and management and all of that kind of thing. They want to do a lift and shift to a PaaS platform such as ours and get all the benefits of our many years of investment and the feedback that you guys have given us over the years to produce such a fantastic service that we have nowadays. So I'm just going to do a canonical Hello World example, and yep, we're in VS. So I'm going to do a full fat .NET framework app, .NET 4.6, but in this case, but it could be 2.0, 3.5, 4. Whatever version that you're running. And you'll notice now Visual Studio has support for Docker built in. I'm not going to choose that, because what I'm trying to show here is you've got a .NET framework app and you need to Dockerize it. How easy is it, right? Okay. So I'm just going to build this web app, simple Hello World, the same thing that we've done, I don't know, we must have done these demos hundreds and hundreds of times at build over the years. We'll just wait for VS to use all 64 gigs and my SSD and my i7 with 4 cores, but you know, we'll see when this comes back up and running. And what I want to show is within a couple of clicks, we can get a Dockerized application out of my .NET framework app. There we go. OK. So let's go to the default page, make a small change. We'll just do the canonical build 2018, save that. And all I need to do is go to project with inside Visual Studio and click Docker support. And you'll notice in the Solution Explorer on the right-hand side of my screen, I've now got this Docker Compose file. But it's pulled in the Docker capabilities with inside the project. And you'll see already below, Visual Studio is creating the Docker container, pulling in the base image, and off we go from my local dev. However, in our private preview, we don't support the 1709 images. We only support the long-term servicing channel of Windows Server Core and Nano. So I'm just going to make one small change to the Docker file, and just bring it back down to their multi-arc containers that the ASP.NET team have produced, just to the ASP.NET 4.7.1. This container is a base container, has the ability to sense what host it's going onto and decide which base image to push down. I just save that, and then I saw Donovan's presentation in the keynote around we don't let friends do right-click publish, but in this instance, we're going to do a right-click publish because I want to do a nice demo. So we're going to do it to a Docker registry. In this example, I'm going to use Docker Hub. So we do publish. Let me sign in. And now VS is publishing my container up to Docker Hub, making it available for me to use. Over time, we will work with Visual Studio, our friends in Visual Studio team, to have an even more seamless integration of this piece so that you push to your container registry and recreate the web app, recreate the resource group, the app service plan, all the other pieces. So there we go. We should see that publish is pushing up to my Docker Hub repo. And we call that web app 13. So if we go to Docker Hub, in a few seconds, we will see that container. But while we join the dots, let's go into our app service portal. Okay, yep. Last demo out of all, everything's gone cold. Just warm it all up. So this literally did come out of the oven at the evening of last night. Me and my son were in the office just finishing off a couple of things. So hopefully all just lights up and we all show the goodness. So web and mobile, web up for containers. Build win demo 2018, hello. I'm going to change, right, hasn't taken my feet, hands. You should be seeing something different there. Right. Yeah, the feature flag was there, but I'll just reload the portal. So this is literally a brand new feature. This is not in the public Azure right now. We have it deployed in our stamps, but we do not have it available to everybody. If you are interested in getting access to the private preview, please come and talk to me at the booth all week. I am there. We are looking for very specific use cases and those kind of things for the private, but we are aiming to deliver a public preview of this feature in the summer, so you will be able to do this. Build win, hello world, 2018. And you'll see immediately there we have this option to choose the OS for your container hosting, and Windows is in preview. Let's go and choose a SKU. Let's go and create a new app service plan. I'm going to choose, yeah, and I'll choose 2018, S1, and then we can go and configure my container. So with all the will in the world, that container should be up and running in the background. So, no, I don't see it. Is that finished publishing? Yeah, it's finished publishing to Docker Hub, so why don't I see it? Okay, we'll just go through. So all you do there is you just hook up your container registry, your image, your tag. We support the privates, we support ACR, and we support private registries for now. You can hook those up, and for any Brits in the room, in true blue beta style, I have some more that I had available earlier. So this is an example of a Hello World app that's up and running, and this is running on containers. This is just a simple .NET Framework application. One of the other things that we can address with this support is the ability to deploy components, libraries, packages onto the workers, because you can deploy them with inside your container. App Service does not allow customers to install custom fonts, to install custom libraries, packages, et cetera, onto our workers, given the size and given the multi-tenancy nature. But now with our Windows container support, then we can allow things like custom fonts to be installed. So here, I've got example of two custom fonts to produce text in Arabic and Hebrew with a nicer rendering than the default out of the box. Something that we get asked a lot, whether the customers can do it. Now with the Windows container feature, then yep, in theory you can do it. This is an example of a .NET framework app which has been Dockerized and pushed into the public cloud. This is an example that our colleagues in the .NET framework team have written architecture guidance around containerizing applications. And our colleague Caesar is presenting another session around this whole topic on Wednesday afternoon, so please do check that one out. And then the next step for that, we also have the ability for you to be able to inject your connection strings, your app settings, in the same way that you would for any standard web app directly through to your container. And as this example, it's the same web app, but instead of using mock data, we're actually using SQL data direct from a SQL container hosted in ACI. That could easily be SQL Azure or MySQL or any other of our database services. Finally, my final demo is PDF Gen. So our sandbox blocks some calls to Windows APIs. Namely, the one that we hit up a lot is with customers wanting to do PDF generation from URLs or from other data. And we often block calls to GDI. With Windows containers, all I did was I went out, did a quick search, looked for PDF components for .NET framework, pulled one in, wrote a small sample, and up and running, off we go. So we'll just pull up the Microsoft website, create a PDF from it. This is the version running in Windows containers. This next tab is the version running on standard web apps. So the Windows container ones come back. I have my PDF running. So you're now sitting with inside the Hyper-V container as your isolation boundary in your sandbox. You're not sitting inside the traditional app service web apps sandbox. If you go back to web apps, that same component won't execute because it's making calls into libraries that our sandbox blocks. So it gives another capability for customers to actually make use of. The final demo that I want to show off. So for our Linux offering, we have SSH. But for Windows, we need something a bit more analogous to what customers are comfortable with and used to using when doing remote management of instances. So if I just filter out my applications, and we go to this one. You'll now see within inside our tooling, we have the ability to connect via Windows Remote Management, WinRM. So this gives you a PowerShell access directly to your container. So if I run this up, you get the scripts and the enablement through the portal. We show you what you need to do and how to get it up and running. You use your deployment credentials from your publishing profile, so it's not that you have to do anything particularly onerous, but here we are. I'm directly into my Windows container with inside our service, and I can navigate and inspect and do whatever I wish to do with inside that container. Oh, if I could type, then we'd be okay. And then there we go. You can see that it's the full container host underneath. We're really excited to bring this feature to our customers and to you guys. We're really excited to see what you do with it, and hope that it really does open up some of the scenarios that you've faced issues with over the time, and it really provides a valuable addition to the app service stable of features.
Great. So thank you, Andrew. So like Andrew said, this literally, when we say hot off the press, we really mean hot off the press. We did deployments all the way through late last week, and again, our backend and UX engineers were able to push it through, get it lit up over the weekend. So by all means, drop by our booth. Andrew will be there today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and he can walk you through some more of the details. As he also alluded to, we're going to start out initially with a private preview. It's not our intent to sit around in private preview for very long. We just, you know, need to give it a little bit of bake time. And definitely stay tuned, because as quickly as possible, we intend to ramp this up worldwide and also open it up more widely to public preview in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so I'm going to quickly jump back to our slides. And just to sort of close things out before we summarize everything, I want to touch on one sort of last set of features, things that don't necessarily fit in specifically to a theme, but just in terms of improvements we've made to the service that I wanted to highlight real briefly. So I'm just going to sit here and click through some settings. And don't worry, I'll put it back up on the screen here in a minute. One thing I wanted to call out is, you notice here, FTP access. This is something we just added literally in the last, I think, 2 days or so. So this is, again, based upon feedback from all of you. And again, I know sometimes you do user voice and you wonder, hey, is anyone listening? Actually, all of us here do see it every week. And one of the things, of course, is very logical feedback from all of you was, look, I don't use FTP as an example. I want to turn it off. Or I use FTP, but I want to make sure I'm using the SSL version, not just plain text FTP. So we've lit this up now, so you can go out and turn off FTP or restrict it to FTPS only. So that way, again, if you're more security conscious, if you need to meet those security requirements, we just made that a lot easier for you. And then similarly, these settings are also available in ARM, and you can also get to them through Resource Explorer. And then along those lines, we've also done some other changes. So in the area of SSL, two things. First off, the simpler one. It's a very common app pattern. A lot of you ask us, in blogs, you talk to us on the expo hall floors, is there a way just to force SSL only for my apps? And traditionally we've said, oh, hey, yeah, there is a way to do it, but we'd point you at some grungy URL rewrite rules. Well, guess what? It's one button, it's one setting in ARM, much simpler. So you can just sit here now and say, hey, if I want to always enforce SSL for my apps, it's just a one-click setting. And then the biggie, which again, okay, thank you to all the, you see, it's not containers, it's just the ability to say, give me that SSL. Oh, custom certificates. We'll get there. Not quite yet. We're getting there. But along also the theme of SSL, again, on a more serious note, we know a lot of you here, a lot of you who'll be watching, right, PCI and all the related compliance requirements like PCI, right, slowly but surely they're pushing away the older versions of TLS. And so we lit it up a few weeks ago through ARM, and then in the not too distant past, again, you can do it through the portal. So with a one-click setting, you can say on the multi-tenant public version of app service, you can say, hey, guess what? I want to require all of my clients to use only TLS 1.2. So it makes it very simple for you now to meet that compliance requirement. And to be very clear, it means you can do that on the public app service. You're no longer having to go down the path of using an app service environment just to be able to say, hey, which TLS version do I want to enforce? Having said that, the same option is also now available for those of you running apps on ACEs, aka app service environments. So you can use this exact same approach, the same way applies both public and the private variation of app service. So, okay, like I said, I just want to have a quick few minutes there to be able to sort of show those. So I'll go ahead and round us out now in the deck. Just to sort of recap everything we saw here over the last hour or so. So we've done a lot of improvements and additions around app patterns and functionality for Linux. So you saw Jenny demoing easy authentication. So you can do that AAD and OAuth authentication with your Linux apps on our service just as easily as you could do it with our Windows apps. You saw remote debugging is now available for you for Node.js, and we will continue to expand that support in the coming weeks and months. You can bring your own SSH clients, which is really cool. That wasn't something you could do before. And similarly, we can also do the SSH variation of FTP. You saw Andrew showing Windows containers. So again, talk to him at the expo hall floor if you want to get in the private preview. If not, don't worry. We'll be opening it up in public preview as quickly as possible. And then also for Linux, we showed it to you running on app service environments. So now you have the ability to do that lockdown, do that total isolation, run exclusively in a virtual network, and that's been extended over to our Linux side of the house, again available in preview. I showed you real quickly the new SKU picker. All of you will probably be living and seeing that constantly now as you go through your day-to-day work. The main takeaway is, remember, PV2 should be much more price effective for a lot of you, and it's now sort of our preference as you move up to those production workloads and you're moving out of S1. For Linux, we wanted to make sure it was really easy to kick the tires. So we've opened up, starting today, a little free offer on Linux, so you can run a single instance in an app service plan on a basic one, a B1 plan for a month. It won't cost you anything. So feel free to kick the tires, and we're not going to end up charging you anything. And then again, I've just got summarized there at the bottom a lot of the other things we just saw. Definitely give the updated CLI, give that a trial spin. And to sort of drill into that point, that up command that you saw, part of that is our intent to make sure that it's easy to get onto our service. We spend a lot of time concentrating on the mid-tier and the higher end, being able to run those heavier duty workloads, but we also recognize, right, from day zero when we were back running app service initially, it was about just easily getting onto the program or getting onto the service and getting up and running. So that's the whole point of that up command, is to be able to do 0 to 60 really easily and quickly on our platform. So I've got the URL for our team blog that's up there. I know the number of new announcements went up there today. And so again, like if you're curious, for example, about Windows containers, if you just subscribe to that feed and keep an eye on it from time to time, that's where you'll see the news popping up as we move forward into the public preview. So to round things out, I've got here in the slide deck a lot of the other sessions that were going on related to app service. We're just sort of kicking it off here. So there's a lot of other great sessions going on about containers. We got Matthew here tomorrow. He's going to be talking more about sort of easy auth and managed service identities, which is a really cool capability in the platform. And then a couple of the folks here have been watching us today. Tomorrow we're also going to be showing you about our really great kick-ass diagnostics capabilities and how we've made it a lot easier for you to be able to support and do DevOps style operations on your apps after you've deployed. So that's pretty much it. In closing, thank you everyone for attending, and do make sure to go ahead and fill out your evals because apparently someone is going to win a drone or a nice 4K capable Xbox. And since we've got a few minutes left here, I think there's a microphone up here in the middle as well as in the back, so feel free to ask questions there. Also, a bunch of us will be on the expo hall floor here all week as well. So thank you again, folks. Sure.
Are there any plans to look at zero downtime deployments when you do an upgrade?
Have we been able to look at geo deployments?
No. So cross geo and no downtime deployments like BlueGreenStack.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work that's been going on with that. For example, part of the reason why you see the snapshots capability that Ahmed just showed you earlier is we're actually going to be building off of that to make it easy to ship that same code around the world and to be able to set up that kind of geo-distributed topology. Today, you can pull it off, but you have to assemble the pieces, but you'll actually see more of that being automated here as time goes by.
Okay, and specifically when you upgrade the code, the current app goes down, is that correct?
No, it doesn't, because remember, as a service, and this was what I was alluding to earlier, does our service bring your app down when you upgrade it? The answer is no, if you're using our deployment slots feature, right? And that's intrinsic to the platform. It's not unique to any specific language or framework. So what you do is you update your container version or your application code that's in a slot, and we will actually warm that slot up before we swap it into production. And we will automatically take care of that warm up, and we will only route the traffic to it when we see that it's up and running. So you won't have a hiccup from your front end traffic.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Sure.
Hi. Related to the web app up, do you have the corresponding web app down to tear down everything?
Hey, Ahmed.
I would love that because
That's great feedback.
I don't want to have to go and manually tear everything down after I put it up quickly.
Yeah, well, give us the feedback and we'll see what we can do. Sure.
Also, you
sure. Take note now.
You gave the product owner the feedback, so we've heard it.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Yep, sure.
Hi. If there are multiple app services hosted in a single app service plan, this TLS settings and HTTPS settings, does that, if we turn it off, does that apply to the whole ASP or just to that particular web app?
So everything, well, it'll be for the specific web app, right, that you're touching. So for example, if you're running three web apps in an app service plan, and let's say you weren't using deployment slots, and you went out and you mutated the code in like app number two, that app is going to end up recycling. But that's why more generally, when we use deployment slots, right, the swap is happening at the app service plan level. So that affects one or many apps that are all in that same plan. And then we'll go out and we'll do the swap for you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go off mic, folks. And again, feel free to drop by the expo hall floor. We'll all be there today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Thanks again.